Well, we've been told that Jews don't believe in Jesus and that Jesus is not for Jews, right? No, that's wrong.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know why I say that it's wrong, absolutely wrong, to say that Jews don't believe in Jesus? Because I, the one speaking to you right now, your dear host, Michael Brown, yes, I am a Jew, a follower of Jesus Yeshua, and one of, a few hundred thousand, one of multiplied tens of thousands of Jews who believe in Jesus around the world. And all of us with one voice will say, you better believe Jesus Yeshua is for the Jews. In fact, if Jesus is not for Jews, then he's not for anybody. You can't give him to the Christians. You can't give him to the rest of the world because he would be an imposter, a deceiver, or his followers deceived on his account. On the other hand, if he is the Messiah of Israel, and you better believe he is, if he is the Messiah of Israel, he is the Savior of the world. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It is Passover season. It is Thursday, which is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire. Today we were going to be giving away some copies of my brand new, just released, hot off the press, important new book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. We'll be giving away some copies of the book as well. I'll tell you how that's going to happen shortly. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. Now, all through the month of April, every Thursday in April, we are specially devoting Thoroughly Jewish Thursday to talking to our Jewish friends about Jesus Yeshua, helping our Christian friends better grasp his Jewishness, and why we say that he is the Messiah. So if you're listening and you don't personally believe in Jesus, you're a Jewish person, you don't believe, or you used to believe, but you don't anymore, or you're seeking, you have questions, I would love to hear from you. I assure you that your questions will be quite welcome. 866-34-TRUTH. If you'd rather not talk on the air, you can always email us through our website. That's Ask Dr. Brown. You can email us, and we will be very happy to respond to you directly. By the way, I see the phones ringing rapidly. We have not said how we're giving books away yet, just to be clear on that. I will tell you that in a little while. We'll be giving away some copies of The Real Kosher Jesus. So in the next segment, I'll tell you how, and we'll start giving some away. But it's the Passover season. And the Passover season is one of the most fundamental seasons, foundational seasons on the Jewish calendar, the biblical calendar. In fact, according to Exodus 12, when God established the Passover for Israel, Pesach in Hebrew, he said, this month will be to you the beginning of months. This is when it all starts, the Exodus from Egypt, the killing of the lamb, the taking of the blood of the lamb and putting it over the doorpost and threshold and saying, God saying, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then every year in commemoration of the Exodus, Jews around the world, even Jews that are normally not religious, Jews all around the world celebrate the Passover and remember the Exodus from Egypt and eat unleavened bread, remembering the haste of that Exodus, and then remembering other aspects that tie in with the suffering of the Jewish people at that time and through history. It was at this very season that Jesus, Yeshua, laid down his life. On this very season, Jesus Yeshua laid down his life as a Passover lamb. Do you know in the New Testament that Paul, writing to Gentile Christians in Corinth, said to them that Jesus Yeshua is our Passover lamb? Even they knew about the Passover. We're going to open this up, take you on a journey when you come back right here on The Line of Fire.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here's the big question. Why don't we leave the Jewish people alone? They have their religion. Jews have Judaism. They have their traditions. They have many, many beautiful traditions, beautiful prayers. Jews have been preserved by Judaism through the centuries. Why not leave Jewish people alone? Why try to get Jews to believe in Jesus? Jesus is for the Gentiles. That's fine. If they're happy with him, and Catholics and Protestants and others are happy with him, that's great. Good for them. But leave the Jews alone. Oh, it doesn't work like that. Because if Jesus is not for the Jews, he's not for the Gentiles either. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today. Before I go any further, before I begin to open up more of this about Jesus, Yeshua, being our Passover lamb, before I open up this concept that if he is not for the Jews, then he is not for the Gentiles, I want to tell you how I'll be giving away a few books, copies of my brand new book, The Real Kosher Jesus. Now, we have a tremendous resource offer this week, the book and a lecture I did, an outreach lecture at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, followed by live Q&A, a great resource offer, very inexpensive for the book and DVD. I'll tell you about that later in the broadcast, but we're going to give some books away on the program, but I'm going to be real strict about it. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you right now engaging a Jewish person about Jesus Yeshua? Maybe they're at the debate Rabbi Shmuley and I did here in Charlotte or in New York City. Maybe they read his Kosher Jesus book. Maybe you've just been sharing the faith with them, excuse me, for a while. Maybe you've just had a new open door to talk to them about Jesus Yeshua, and they are interested. And you're confident that if you give them this book, they'll read it. So you're talking to a Jewish person, you're sharing your faith with a Jewish person, you're not someone you're thinking of doing, and this would be a great idea, but I'm talking about someone you're engaged with right now, sharing the faith, and you really believe that they would read this book if you gave it to them, my book, The Real Kosher Jesus. I want you to call me now, and if you qualify, you get a free copy of the book. And you look at it, but then it's to give away. It's to give away. Got that? 866-34-TRUTH. You're currently in the midst of witnessing to a Jewish person, and you're talking, you're interacting, and this would be just the book to give them. You think they'd read it, give me a call, 866-348-7884. We'll give you a free copy. We want to sew this into your hands as a witnessing tool. Towards the back of my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, the epilogue, not just a light for the Gentiles. Many Jewish leaders believe that Jesus is fine for the Gentiles and that Christianity is a beautiful world religion. Jesus is simply not for Jews. Judaism is for Jews. In other words, it's fine if Christians want to follow Jesus, but people already have a covenant with God made 3,500 years ago at Mount Sinai. As for the Gentiles, if they revere Jesus and their lives are improved by believing in him, more power to them. Just don't try to push him on the Jews, right? Yeah, and Andrew, I'll talk with these callers, sure thing. So just don't try to push them on the Jews. Isn't that the way a lot of people think today? Now, it's a strange thing when you realize Jesus, Yeshua, was born a Jew and died a Jew. And hanging over him when he was crucified was the inscription, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He was crucified as King of the Jews. His mother's name was Miriam. His followers had names like, as I've often pointed out, Yaakov and Yochanan and Yehuda. Before he was born, the angel announced, Matthew 1:21, he'll be called Yeshua because he will save his people from their sins. At his birth, he was proclaimed King of the Jews, not King of the Gentiles. And when he died, the inscription hanging over his head on the cross read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He made clear that he had not come to abolish the Torah and the prophets. Rather, his mission was to fulfill them. Matthew 5:17. Some of his first Jewish followers were drawn to him because they said, we found the Messiah. John 1:41. Another one of his disciples named Nathanael, not Tanel, recognized who he was immediately, proclaiming, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. John 1:49. When Yeshua questioned his disciples sometimes later as to who they believed he was. Shimon Kepha, also known as Peter, immediately declared, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16. After his resurrection, Jesus encountered two Jewish men who were despondent. They had hoped that he was going to be the one who redeemed Israel. But now he was dead, and all hope was lost. Without revealing his identity to them, he rebuked them in very strong terms. "Foolish people," says Luke 24. "Someone willing to put your trust in everything the prophet spoke, didn't the Messiah have to die like this before entering his glory?" And starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things that can be found throughout the Tanakh, the scriptures concerning himself. Do you get it? Jesus is saying, look, it's all written in the Hebrew scriptures. It's all written in the Tanakh. It's all written there in our own Bible about me. This was not someone coming to start a new religion for the Gentile world. The reason that Gentiles follow Jesus and come to know the God of Israel and become equal heirs to the promises of God, the blessings of God, eternal life and forgiveness of sins, and have equal standing now with Jews, is because Israel was called to be the priestly nation, the light to the world. And now the Messiah comes, and through him, the whole world comes to know God. That was Israel's mission. Shortly after Jesus rose from the dead, or after this encounter that takes place that I just read from Luke 24, he takes his 11 disciples aside and instructs them, preparing them for the mission of declaring to Israel and the nations that the Messiah had come. And he said, "This is what I meant when I was still with you and told you that everything written about me in the Torah of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms had to be fulfilled." It's all about me. When Jewish people are reading the Torah, when Jewish people are going through the rites of the Passover this week, when Jewish people go through the biblical calendar, when Jewish people read the books of the prophets and pray the Psalms, Jesus is saying it's ultimately all about me. It's ultimately pointing to me because I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that fulfills the destiny of Israel. I'm the one of whom the prophets spoke and of whom Moses spoke. After he ascends to heaven, in accordance with Psalm 110 from the Hebrew Scriptures, where the Lord said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet," Shimon Kepha, Peter, declared to thousands of Jews who had gathered at the temple in Jerusalem for the Feast of Shavuot, which is 50 days after the Passover, that this same Jesus who had been given over to the Romans to be crucified had been declared by God to be both Lord and Messiah. The same message is repeated over and over again by Yeshua's emissaries, by his followers. He's the promised Messiah, the one spoken of by Moses and the prophets. What's the point? He did not come into the world to start a foreign new religion. He did not come into the world simply to be a light to the Gentiles. He is a light to the Gentiles because he is the Messiah of Israel. I'm going to tell you an amazing story a little while about a rabbi discovering the Jewishness of the New Testament and the Jewishness of Jesus. A leading rabbi generations ago. An amazing thing happened in his own life, and I tell the story in The Real Kosher Jesus. But before I go any further, let me give a couple of books away. Anne,
yes,
where are you calling
hello.
From, Anne? Yes, Andrew, I think you forgot to put the cities down here. Anne from...
Okay, am I on air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take up your time. I wanted to know, I want to purchase the hardcover books.
Yes.
For people I've been witnessing to.
And
sure. I wanted to know, where can I send a letter with my gift and the addresses of where the books need to be mailed?
Okay. Do you go online or no?
I could.
Okay. If you just go to our website, askdrbrown.org.
Okay.
AskDrBrown.org, just click on the online bookstore, and you'll have all the information there. You can write directly to our folks there, and they will joyfully take care of you and get the beautiful hardcover editions out to you for your friends.
And I also wanted to say, I know that we're not commanded to tithe in this new covenant, but to any listeners that might be listening, this is a good way to kind of tithe. It doesn't have to necessarily go into a church to purchase these books and give them away, and that's another form of giving and supporting a cause to witness to people. So,
all right, well, Anne, I appreciate that. Thank you. And, of course, it's important to if whatever congregation we're part of, to support that, to pour in there. And then over and above, sure, this is a great way to do outreach and to give. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Ann, just go to askdrbrown.org, all right? And you'll get all your information right there. Okay, Jeanette, we come back. I want to talk to you in Manchester. We come back. We'll be taking your call, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to give a few books away. If you are interacting right now, you're in an ongoing witness to a Jewish friend, neighbor, coworker, family member, and you say, boy, they will definitely read this book. I know they're ready, and they'll read this book. I'm going to send out a few free books. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday and this outreach day where we're reaching out, talking to, honestly, my Jewish friends about why Jesus is for us Jews, why the most Jewish thing you can do is embrace Jesus, Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. Now, I've got no question that the way the church has often presented Jesus has been very un-Jewish. And then even some of the artistic representations, I mean, he's European, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. And in other ways, he looks more like someone out of medieval church than he looks like a first-century Jewish teacher. That would have been called rabbi as a title of esteem and honor. But I want to remind you that everything about his life, his upbringing, his beginnings, his end in this world, Jewish, 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 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but just listen to some of these quotes. Professor Arshai I.D. Cohn, Jewish historian, he's taught at Jewish Theological Seminary, Harvard University, Brown University. Was Jesus a Jew? Of course Jesus was a Jew, he says. He was born of a Jewish mother in Galilee, Jewish part of the world. All of his friends, associates, colleagues, disciples, all of them are Jews. He regularly worshipped in Jewish communal worship, what we call synagogue. He preached from Jewish texts from the Bible. He celebrated the Jewish festivals. He was born, lived, died, taught as a Jew. And then Professor Joseph Klausner, I've got all these quotes in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus. Professor Joseph Klausner, writing, almost 100 years ago now from Hebrew University, in Hebrew, he said, Jesus keeps the ceremonial laws like an observing Jew. He wears fringes, ritual fringes, the corners of his garments. He goes up to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He celebrates the Seder, the traditional Passover meal, blesses the bread, the unleavened cakes, and breaks them and says the blessing over the wine. He dips the various herbs into the haroset, which is a particular part of the meal, drinks the four cups of wine, again referring to the Passover meal, and concludes with the Hallel, a prayer based on the Psalms. Jesus, as many have said, was a Jew, not a Christian. And because he fulfilled the prophetic mission of the Messiah, the first part of his mission that had to be completed before the second temple was destroyed, to suffer and die for our sins, to take our guilt upon his shoulders, to be the ransom for the world, the one that will empower us to repent and change, we know that he will finish his mission. In fact, the prophets indicated that he would first be rejected by his people and be a light to the nations, and then ultimately be received by his people. Who, pray tell, are they speaking about? All right, to the phones, Jeanette in Manchester, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
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 Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Jeanette. I wanted to thank you for taking my call.
Surely.
Yes, I'm witnessing to a precious man, Dr. Mendelson. He's our dentist, and all the people there are Jewish also, and my husband and I both witnessed, and I've left there crying because he's the most beautiful person I've ever met. He's just so kind, and we've had a couple problems with my teeth, and I just said, I'm not going to complain. I just want Jesus to shine. And he made mention of my spirit and why was I different. So we have witnessed them, and we love them. And I just pray for all of them because they're all Jewish.
And so you think that if you gave him the book, he would read it?
I've already given him some books, and he took them.
All right, well, awesome.
He's never made any remarks back to
all right.
me.
Well, tell you what. Here's the deal. We'll sew this into you to give to him as a gift. And
okay.
In fact, you could even tell him the author gave you this book to give him as a gift, and you'd love to know what he thinks about it. Tell him that the author is a Jew. All right, so you stay on the line there, and we want to sew this into your hands. Thank you, Jeanette, and may the favor of the Lord shine through you to this dear dentist and his staff, 866-34-TRUTH. Sean in Middlesex, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're very welcome.
We're witnessing to something that I've never seen before. It's a Christian girl, grew up in a Christian home all her life, went to Rutgers, met a gentleman, Aaron, and the family is Jewish, and the family said that their son couldn't date her unless she became a Jew, and she's thrown Jesus out the door. And he's actually asking more questions than she is. And she's trying to tell him, no, you know, you don't want to go that way. But he's actually more interested than she is. And she knows the truth.
All right. So you feel that who do you think would read the book between them?
Aaron, I believe. I think that she's he would have more of an impact on her than she would have an impact on him, believe it or not.
Got it. All right. Well, listen, we want to sew some of these brand new books into the hands of people that are in the front lines here. So we'll send you the book to give to Aaron and maybe to this young lady as well. Maybe she'll read it as well. And then shoot us a line if you have any fruit, any response, any report. Shoot us a line. All right. So we're going to put you on hold here, and you can give your address to Andrew, 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, some of you say, I want to get the book. You can order it. You can order it. In fact, can I ask everyone to do me a favor? Go to Amazon.com. This will take you 30 seconds if you're online. Go to Amazon.com. Look up The Real Kosher Jesus. You can always order it from there, but we've got a great special resource offer I want to make available to you in a moment. But if you're on, just click on like. If you're on Facebook, click on like. The more people that do, the more people will be drawn to that page on Amazon. So here's the deal. We want to send you a copy of The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. I'm telling you, you'll start reading the book, and you want to go to the next chapter and the next, and each one's going to open up your eyes. And then we interact directly with my friend, Rabbi Shmuley's Kosher Jesus book. I've even got a whole chapter, How Jesus Got Hijacked by a Well-Meaning Rabbi. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all in the book. The Lamb Who Was Slain. Talk about a Passover theme. And from kosher Jesus to unkosher Christianity, what happened? How did we get there? And then the hidden Messiah of Israel. It's all in the book. You can get the paperback copy of The Real Kosher Jesus, plus my outreach talk at Hebrew University, which is absolutely an eye-opener on the atoning power of the death of the righteous. The DVD plus the book, $20 postage paid, well over $30 value, so $20 postage paid, the book and the DVD. You'll be super edified, and they're both great outreach tools. Or you can get the hardcover, the book and the DVD, for just $30 postage paid. So invest in these resources. You'll be blessed. Get a bunch of them to give to your Jewish friends as well. 1-800-278-9978 is the number to call. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore to take advantage of these special resources. We've got a whole lot more to talk about, a lot more calls to take. All of our friends listening on WAVA, WAVA, FM, just want to remind you, I was talking to the station manager yesterday, a dear friend and colleague, the whole hour. First hour of Line of Fire airs on WAVA AM from 5 to 6 in the evening. So catch what you can now. Catch the rest later in the day. Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah of Israel, light to the nations.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just want to make this clear as we're giving some books away. I need to talk to you so that we can determine, okay, this is a fit. This is someone who's going to get the book. Then we're glad to send them out. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, if you are sharing the gospel with a Jewish person, you're engaged with them and they're open, you believe that they would receive the book because we have a limited number that we're giving away. Just want to make sure we're sowing into good seed here. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. According to some, like Rabbi Jacob Emden, he was a highly respected rabbi in the mid-1700s. He wrote this in 1757. The Nazarene, speaking of Jesus, brought about a double kindness in the world. On the one hand, he strengthened the Torah of Moses majestically. On the other hand, he did much good for the Gentiles. I'm excerpting from his longer quote. By doing away with idolatry and removing the images from their midst, he also bestowed upon them ethical ways, and in this respect, he was much more stringent with them than the Torah of Moses, as is well known. In other words, he's saying that Jesus was good for the Jews because he strengthened the Torah of Moses, and he was good for the Gentiles because he turned them away from idolatry and removing the images from their midst and gave them moral commandments to live by. The one thing, the key thing that the great Rabbi Emden missed was that he did this because he was the Messiah. Let me say it like this. You have to completely throw out, friends, the entire message of the New Testament to say that Jesus came to start some foreign new religion. Jesus came in order to reach the Gentile world, or to enlighten the Gentile world, but he didn't come as the Messiah of Israel. No, if he didn't come as the Messiah of Israel, throw the New Testament out. Throw the New Testament out. It's based on falsehood. Either Jesus was deceived or was a deceiver, or his followers were deceived, or they were deceivers, or all of the above. You say, well, if that's the case, throw the whole thing out. Ah, the problem is you can't throw the whole thing out because it's based on truth. He really did come when the prophet said he had to come. He really did die and rise from the dead as the prophet said he would do. His message really has gone around the world so that hundreds of millions of Gentiles have come to know the God of Israel through him. Oh, in other words, you can't just have it that he's good for, well, he's the God of the Catholics, but he's not for the Jews. No, no. Here's the other part. For a Jew to follow Jesus, Yeshua, they continue to be Jews. Well, you know, he's got to go from Saturday to Sunday. No. No. Where does it say that? Well, you're following Jesus, then you have to start eating bacon. Where does it say that? Following Jesus, then you got to throw out Passover. Where does it say that? No, no, no. You continue to be a Jew, but a Jew who has found the Messiah of Israel. I'm going to tell you in a moment about this rabbi and this encounter he had with the New Testament. 866-34-TRUTH. Mary in Houston, Texas. We lost Mary there. Let's go to James in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the line of fire. Hello, James.
Yes, hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, this is James from Brooklyn.
Yes, please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my call first. I wanted to witness to a friend of mine. It seems like he knows so much and kind of a little intimate to talk to him, really. It's like don't really quite have the way to approach him because it makes me feel like the Jesus I'm talking about is so foreign to him.
Is he open to the gospel? I mean, is he open to hear more? Does he?
Well, he is. It's just I think I'm not quite equipped to talk to a Jew.
All right, well, then tell you what, stay on the line, James, all right? And I want you to tell him that the author of this book sent you a copy to give to him, and that the author would love to hear from you as to how he likes the book. All right?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Giving away some copies of my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, today to those who are in the midst of sharing the gospel with a Jewish person. I mean, you're in the midst of a quality witness to a Jewish person, interacting with them about Jesus, and you really believe they'll take this book, they will read it. We want to get you some copies. But everybody, buy them by the stack load to give them out. You won't find a more engaging, informative, eye-opening, and comprehensive book to give to your Jewish friends. The problem is you're not going to want to give it away, so get at least two in your order. Seriously, you're not going to want to give it away because you're going to dive in like, oh, I didn't know. Wow, that's fascinating. Whoa, I didn't know that. Trust me. Yehiel Lichtenstein was a 19th century Hungarian rabbi. He despised Christianity. And I have this in my book. In his own words, he believed that Christ himself was the plague and curse of the Jews, the origin and promoter of our sorrows and persecutions. With his own eyes, he witnessed so-called Christians committing murderous acts against his people, acts committed in the name of Christ. But yet he also read passionate defenses of the Jewish people by others who called themselves Christians and who utterly renounced anti-Semitism, also in the name of Christ. This led him to pick up a copy of the New Testament that 40 years earlier he had angrily hurled into the corner of the study where it lay on the ground covered with dust. 40 years! Got the thing. Hurled it. Jesus, the plague of our people. You've got these false Christians preaching a false Jesus, murdering Jews, and be baptized or die, or going out at Easter season and looking to kill the Christ killers, pogroms and things like that. He witnessed this, but then he saw Christians who passionately stood up for the Jews and thought, huh, what's what? What's what? So he picks up New Testament. And I recount this in The Real Kosher Jesus. He said, it was laying 40 years in the corner of his office, covered with dust. I had thought the New Testament to be impure, a source of pride, of selfishness, of hatred, and of the worst kind of violence. But as I opened it, I felt myself peculiarly and wonderfully taken possession of. A sudden glory, a light flashed through my soul. I looked for thorns and found roses. I discovered pearls instead of pebbles. Instead of hatred, love. Instead of vengeance, forgiveness. Instead of bondage, freedom. Instead of pride, humility. Conciliation instead of enmity. Instead of death, life, salvation, resurrection, heavenly treasure. What about the Jewishness of the New Testament? Listen to what he says. From every line in the New Testament, from every word, the Jewish spirit streamed forth light, life, power, endurance, faith, hope, love, charity, limitless and indestructible faith in God, kindness to prodigality, moderation to self-denial, content to the exclusion of all sense of need, consideration for others with extreme strictness as regards self. All these things were found pervading the book. Wow! A rabbi discovers the Jewishness of the New Testament and the Jewishness of Jesus and became a follower of Jesus, Yeshua, and remained a religious Jew to his dying day. Both? Yeah, both. 866-34-TRUTH. Asmita in Hawthorne, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello? All right. Lost you there. Let's go to Patrick in Tuckahoe, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? Hello.
I'm fine. Thanks, Patrice. Oh, Patrice. Sorry.
Yeah.
Said Patrick.
I'm glad I got you.
You know what it is? I'm trying to figure out how it is. It's Patrice in Tuckahoe, and I got the Tuck part, and I just squeezed it all together and made Patrice in Tuckahoe into Patrick. My apologies, Patrice.
I'm so glad you got me, though. I'm so grateful to be on the air with you, Dr. Brown. And I just want to say, you know what? I am so blessed because I'm a Christian. I'm also a witness for the word. And I'm so blessed that so many people, Jewish, are coming to the Messiah, which is the Christ. And he was Jewish. And I don't know why people have a tendency of putting the Jewish people down because they were the first chosen people. And my best girlfriend is Jewish, and I've been witnessing the word to her. She's married to a Catholic man, but they don't practice any form of religion in their house. And I'm by the grace of God, I'm the godmother to her son. But she's Jewish, and he supposedly was supposed to be Catholic. So she made me the godmother, which I think was a blessing from God because I'm very close to the Lord. And I've tried several times, but I think that she stuck, you know, as far as she was never really taught. And I think that has a lot to do with, a lot of people are not taught when they're young. So rather than turn, you know, and try to confront this, they'd rather run away from it. And she's my best girlfriend. I love her with all my heart and soul. And I really, really want a witness. I want her to receive the Christ. I mean, her family is amazing. She is amazing. And I just know that I'm here in her life to just offer this. So,
well wonderful. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. When I get off the air with you, we're going to put you on hold. Andrew's going to come back on, get your address. But what you need to do is tell her that, and if any of you, I'm sending you the book and you're still listening and you may have missed me say this earlier. It's a great way to get the person to read it. Say the author of the book, who's Jewish, the author of the book gave you the book to give to her as a gift. And
wow.
He was asking for feedback. All right. So give it to her. Say the author of the book gave it to you. It's 100% true and accurate. Author of the book gave the book to you to
and
give to
Jewish.
Her. All right. And he's Jewish and he wants your feedback. And then this way, your best friend, all right?
That would be great. And you know what? You keep up the good work, Dr. Brown. You're amazing. I'm so blessed that, you know, that so many Jewish people are coming out and receiving the Christ. And, you know, I mean, we just, you know, we're supposed to love one another. I mean, and I one thing that I'm more blessed is that a lot of Jewish people come into my life. And I guess that's God's way of doing something because he knows that I'm ready to open up my mouth, you know, no matter what. Because what I have, I want my loved ones to have too, which
yeah,
is
and
he's
Patrice,
the life. He's the life force.
Right. The reality of Jesus working in you and a changed life and strength in the midst of the trials and tests of this world and hope and faith and a real relationship, that speaks so loudly to people.
It sure does.
Our words speak, but our lifestyle, our actions speak even more loudly. All right, going to put you on hold, Patrice. Stay right there until Andrew will get you. He's running real hard today, but he is our main man doing this. So he will get you in a moment, Patrice, and then we will send you a copy of the book. Everybody else, remember, order all the copies you want. It's like, oh, I want a free. Order all the copies you want and help us help more people. And remember, please take a minute, go to Amazon.com and look up Real Kosher Jesus. You can order the book from there, of course, order boatloads of them from there if you like. But just click on like. There's a Facebook thing. Just click on like. It's right next to the title. And the more people on Facebook who do it, just another simple way, takes you 30 seconds to spread the news about the Real Kosher Jesus. Fillmore in Houston. Oh, we lost Fillmore. Well, I was curious to see what Fillmore had to say in Houston, Texas. When I came to faith, most of you know my story. I was a heavy drug user. You say, oh, you're looking for help. No, I was not looking for help. Well, you knew you needed help. No, I didn't know I needed help. I was 16 years old. I was a heavy drug user. I was proud of my drug use. I was into it. I want to tell you that to this day, I look back to that season of my life, 2 years being a heavy drug user and playing drums in a rock band and going to rock concerts. I was lost. I was decadent. I was in sin. I was full of pride. I was an ugly, ugly person on the inside in so, so many ways, full of rebellion, a terror to my mom and dad. Mom, if you're listening, so glad you're listening. Happy Passover. The fact is, I look back at those years, and as far as being into the music, being into the drugs, I loved doing what I was doing. I was really into doing what I was doing. I was a lost sinner, but I was not crying out for help. I wanted to live the way I was living. I thought that's what the rock stars do. That was the goal. You keep going on for a number of years now, and you become a rock star, and your hair gets even longer, and you get even more drugs, and you live a crazy lifestyle. That's what I wanted to do. Everything turned upside down when I understood Jesus was the Messiah and the Savior. That meant the end of my life and the beginning of a brand new life. Yeshua doesn't come and cut us some deal like, hey, you have some of your sin and some of me. No, no. He says, leave everything, follow me, and you find what you've really been made for. You find a whole new life. And as a Jew, you find out, this is why we're here in the world. It's all about Jesus, Yeshua, knowing him, making him known, being lights to the world. That's why we're here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Jesus is for Jews, and Jews are for Jesus, a match made in heaven. Yeah, I know there's a lot of baggage to overcome. Terrible centuries of church history and really demonizing of Jews and 1,500 years of primarily negative history, as far as much of the history that's recounted, the Christian love for Jewish people and those parts of the church through the centuries that were not infected by anti-Semitism. That's the story that's not told much. Unfortunately, that's not the loud, powerful, shouting, screaming part of the story. I don't blame Jews for saying Jesus is not for us. I don't blame Jews for saying he's foreign, it's different. We're Jews, you're Christians. We've got Passover, you've got Easter, we've got Hanukkah, you've got Christmas, we've got synagogues, we've got church buildings, we've got Star of David, you've got the cross. I mean, seems different. You've got your New Testament. We don't accept that. I understand that. But if we can get Jewish people to read the New Testament, the more they actually read the New Testament or even look at some of the prophecies in the Hebrew Scriptures, begin to open up and say, who's that sound like? Who's that sound like? 866-34-TRUTH. Here's a fascinating objection. Jesus cannot be the Messiah because he didn't fulfill the Messianic prophecies. You say, but the New Testament cites many prophecies that he fulfilled. Oh, no, no, no. The New Testament writers rewrote things to make it look like he fulfilled them. So hang on. I thought you said he didn't fulfill any of the prophecies. And then I'm told, these objections I've dealt with rabbi friends and others. Then I'm told, actually, the New Testament writers rewrote things so that it would look like he fulfilled. Well, did they rewrite them or not? And did they rewrite them to look like he fulfilled them? Well, that's one thing. But to say he didn't fulfill them means it didn't happen and didn't say it happened. The fact of the matter is, it would have been easy to rewrite things differently, but not the way they did. You don't rewrite something for first century Jews and say that the women were the first ones to find them after he rose from the dead. No, that's not going to work. And you don't start this new religion in Rome saying, yeah, our leader was crucified and killed by the Romans. That's what we decided to come up with. And in point of fact, there are Jewish scholars today who say, you know, the idea of a Messiah who was going to suffer, some even say a Messiah who was going to die, some even say a Messiah was going to rise from the dead, was actually current in some Jewish thought of the day. As Professor Daniel Boyerin, University of California at Berkeley, Talmud scholar, as he has written recently in his Jewish Messiah book, Jewish Christ book, Jewish Gospel book, And I quote him as well in my Real Kosher Jesus book. His book was about to come out. I was able to grab one very powerful quote from him before we went to the publisher with my book. He says it's not just the Jesus of the New Testament that's Jewish, but the Christ of the New Testament that's Jewish. Wow. 866-34-TRUTH. Barbara in Bridgeport, Connecticut, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, God bless you.
Hello, God bless you.
Hi, I was just calling because I just heard, I think, a couple of days about this, the Kosher Jesus, the book, and I became very interested in it because I just recently started to, with my family, get in touch with our Jewish roots. We're Hispanic. My mother's from Honduras, but we never realized how much of our belief, because I was raised as a Christian, was really connected to the Jewish tradition. And and I'm actually trying to get in touch back to my Jewish roots, because we didn't know, my mother didn't know that she was connected to it at all. And we did certain things throughout our lives that we didn't understand why we would do it a certain way. And we would read, and we would get our faith from reading the Word of God. But we were like, there's more to it. We know there's more to it. There's more to the meaning. And I basically, I'm very interested in starting to read the book, because I want to know more and get into the deep roots of why is it that we do certain things.
Got it. Are you able to get a copy of the book for yourself, Barbara?
Yes, like I'm planning to get one for at least myself and my pastor.
Yeah, and what you'll find, Barbara, in the book, in the end notes, I've got lots and lots more references to these different things in terms of Jewish background. And what you'll find, though, is just as you're reading the New Testament, so much of what's written there and laid out there makes a whole lot more sense when you put it in its Jewish context. And it's the key thing is that this ultimately enhances and strengthens our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't put the focus on Jewishness. It puts the focus on Jesus, Yeshua. And as we grow in him, that makes all the difference. So you'll find a lot of other references here in The Real Kosher Jesus to Jewish background, to the faith, because there are many, many other books that get into this as well. So you'll find lots more references. But thank you, Barbara, for calling. I appreciate that. Rich, if you can stay on, I want to talk to you in the beginning of the next hour. So if you can stay on, I want to do that. And Stephen, you've been holding for a long time, so I want to get to your question. All right. So stay with us. We'll talk to you the other side of the break. Passover. Messiah dies for our sins at the season of Passover. He rises from the dead at the holiday known as First Fruits, which takes place the day after the Sabbath in Passover, which would be a Sunday, would it not? This is in the biblical calendar. Leviticus 23 lays out all of these days in one short section. He then sends the Spirit the next major event, which is 50 days later, which is Pentecost, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. According to Jewish tradition, that's when Moses gave the law on Mount Sinai. God gave the law on Mount Sinai at Pentecost. Now Jesus sends the Spirit at Pentecost. 3,000 Jews died in the book of Exodus because they rejected what God spoke about idolatry and Torah. 3,000 Jews are saved after Peter preaches. This is laid out prophetically. It's beautiful. And then a gap of 4 or 5 months, and then you have the high holy day season at the end of the year, beginning with what? Trumpets. Trumpets, yes, is what? The return of Jesus, the Messiah, followed 10 days later by Day of Atonement, national cleansing for Israel, followed 5 days later by Sukkot, Tabernacles, the harvest, the ingathering of the nations. It's all laid out prophetically, friends. It's amazing. And it's all in the biblical calendar. All right. The Real Kosher Jesus. Get multiple copies of this book. Get at least two, one for yourself, one to give away to a Jewish friend. But our special offer, only available here, the book in paperback, plus the DVD of my Jewish outreach talk at Hebrew University, which you'll find fascinating, eye-opening, plus the Q&A. You'll be amazed with that. $20 postage paid for both, or hardcover. We only have the hardcover, our ministry. The book and DVD, $30 postage paid, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is high time for Jewish people to recognize that Jesus is for Jews and Jews are for Jesus. A match made in heaven. It is time for us to embrace our Messiah and unashamedly make him known to the nations of the world. Well, we've been told that Jews don't believe in Jesus and that Jesus is not for Jews, right? No, that's wrong.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Jesus for Jews, Jews for Jesus. I was ministering one time in Pittsburgh about to do a debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley, and Jews for Jesus was doing an outreach campaign, and there was their big sign, Jews for Jesus. Isn't that like vegetarians for meat? That's how it sounds to a lot of people. No, Christians for Jesus, Jews for Judaism, Jews for the traditional Jewish Messiah, not Jews for Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, friends, the most Jewish thing a Jewish person could do is recognize Jesus Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah, and then with him and through him bring the light of the God of Israel to the nations. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. It's also Passover season, not just here in the Line of Fire, but around the world for the Jewish community and much of the Christian community around the world, recognizing at this time the death and resurrection of Jesus as a separate holiday called Easter. Friends, this is the Passover season during which Jesus Yeshua died and rose from the dead. All in the Passover season, all part of the biblical calendar already. We have it. Sure, celebrate his death and resurrection, but do it right in the midst of the Passover season. Don't need to make it into a separate religion. Certainly don't need to have Easter egg hunts. All right. Okay, I'm not going there now. Don't panic. I'm not going there now. Let's put the emphasis on being biblical, and what a wonderful Jewish time of the year it is. What a great time for Jewish people to reclaim their Messiah. I want you to know, my Jewish friend, if you're listening, something very precious was taken from you. Something very, very precious was taken from you. The most precious thing you can imagine outside of God himself, the Messiah of Israel, has been stolen from your eyes. And where he has been presented, he's often been presented in such a way that it was unrecognizable. And when he has been presented in a recognizable way, many times we have not received him, followed him, believed in him. I'm talking about the Messiah. I'm talking about Jesus Yeshua. I'm talking about the one who came in fulfillment of prophecy and suffered and died and rose and who will return to fulfill the rest of the prophecies. While Jews are waiting and praying and crying out and saying, we want Mashiach now, and are praying a prayer, a confession that comes from the words of Moses Maimonides. I believe with perfect faith, ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema, I believe in perfect faith, b'viata Mashiach, in the coming of the Messiah, even though he tarry, I'll wait for him every day, believing that he'll come. Religious Jews say that every day. They say it several times a day. They make that confession. The one who will come in the future is the one who already came. The one who will finish the work is the one who started the work. The one who can bring to completion the message, the work of redemption, is the one who began it. As I've said many times, traditional Jews are looking for someone to come and fulfill letters N through Z of the alphabet, taking the place of messianic prophecies. The one who will complete N through Z is the one who already completed A through M. So on the broadcast today, I want to talk to you more about the Jewishness of the Messiah. If you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus listening, I want to help enlighten you. I want to talk to you about some rabbis in the past who've come to faith. And I also want to give away a few copies of my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. We'll be doing that right here today on The Line of Fire. Don't miss it.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's what we're going to do in terms of giving away some copies of The Real Kosher Jesus. Now, I encourage you to buy them. It's not a $100 book, okay? I encourage you to buy bunches of copies, buy at least two, one for yourself, one to give to a Jewish friend that doesn't know the Lord, all right? Buy three. One for yourself, if you're a believer, one for a Jewish friend who doesn't know the Lord, and one for your pastor or congregational leader. Well, no, buy four. No, I'm all right. That's where I was going, Joyce. I was going to get the numbers, going to get the high. Parents, friends, family. That's it. Buy one for all of buy one to give away to everyone listening. There we go. Okay. But here's what I'm going to do. I gave away a number of copies first hour. I'm going to give away a few more. If you're presently sharing the gospel with a Jewish person, you are ministering to a Jewish person, you got a Jewish friend, coworker, family member, and they're open. I don't mean they're saying, yeah, I'm ready to believe, but they're open, and they would read this book if you gave it to them. Now, here's how you're going to give it to them. You're going to tell them that the author of the book gave you the book to give to them, and he'd love their feedback, which is 100% true and accurate. Every word of what I just said is the complete gospel truth. So if you're in the midst of sharing the gospel with a Jewish person, say, yeah, they definitely read this. They seem interested. They seem open. Not like you got some neighbor that doesn't want to talk to you. It's like, hey, can I give you this? No! We won't bother with that, all right? Just keep praying for them and loving them. 866-34-TRUTH. Karen in Massapequa.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Karen. You're on the line of fire.
Oh, hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hello, this is Karen Mormando. I heard you. I just happened to turn on the radio a little while ago, and it's a miracle. Not a miracle, but it's God-ordained. I have a Jewish friend I was speaking with today, and she's not very knowledgeable even about Jewish religion. But I said, how would you like if I bought you a Bible? And she was very open to it. And then I get in the car, and I hear this offer about the real Jesus, the kosher Jesus.
Yes, the real kosher Jesus. Well,
yes.
Wonderful. Karen, yeah, I'd love to hear what happens when you get it to her. Get her this, and then here, you give her two for one. Get this for her to her for free, and then get her a Bible. So,
yes.
And then you'd be a friend to her and sew this into her. But again, just tell her the author gave you the book to give to her as a gift, and he'd love to get your feedback. And then you can go through the book together with her.
Okay.
And I trust that the Lord will open our. All right, stay right there, Karen, and we will get your address and send this book out to you. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, we had one of our faithful listeners sow a very generous gift into our ministry to help us do a series of programs, special Jewish outreach programs, and to help us give some of these books away. So that's why we're able to do this. We're always giving things away. We've given away many, many tens of thousands, 100,000 plus books and other materials over the years, joyfully. But it's people's generosity that helps us to do that. So if you want to sow into our Jewish outreach work, go ahead and do it and know that we constantly pour back out, and Jewish people are coming to faith in Jesus, the Messiah. Let me take a couple more calls. Glady in Baytown, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. My name is Glady Cruz. And
yes,
the reason I'm calling because I have a Jewish friend, and I would like to share this book with him because he has opened up to me. The reason he became Jewish because his grandma was Jewish, and she was the only one that survived during the Holocaust, during Hitler's time.
Wow.
And his rest of the family members were all Christians.
So where does he stand as far as the gospel is concerned right now?
Oh, he has read the gospel. He likes to read, but I really talked to him about the gospel, and he's kind of hardened.
All right. Well, listen, if he's open to read, that's the key thing. And what he needs to understand is that it's Jewish to follow Jesus, that he's not being disloyal to his ancestors. He's doing the right thing. Sometimes our ancestors are right. Sometimes our ancestors are wrong. But the best way to honor them is to honor the God of Israel. The best way to honor my Jewish ancestors is to honor the God of the Jewish people. So again, tell him the author gave you a copy of this book to give to him, and he would love to get his feedback. And then you just shoot us a note after he reads it and shares with you, and we'll trust that the Lord will open his heart. So stay on the line, Gladdy, and we will get your info. Andrew will get that from you. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's just take a question here, biblical question, Jewish-related biblical question. And then I want to talk to you about a rabbi, a chief rabbi, who came to faith in Jesus, the Messiah. Stephen in Beaverton, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, blessings, Dr. Brown.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
Hey, I just been, you know, going through Exodus, and I always wondered about this, you know, where Judah goes and sees
Genesis
along the road and all
Genesis,
that.
Genesis, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, you know, what is this all about? Because I know that he didn't really fulfill his promise with his son Shalom to, you know, give Tamar to his son and all that. And I was just wondering, kind of, is there anything I'm missing here? Is this just kind of a, you know, something that I, you know what I mean? Is there more to this story, or is there just...
Yeah, well, there are a few things of interest in the account. The promised seed comes through Judah. We
mm-hmm.
see that in Genesis, the 49th
right.
chapter. So it's obviously not because of Judah's righteousness. That's
right.
that's one thing we learn here.
Right.
And in fact, his failure is contrasted with Joseph's purity. Joseph says no to,
right.
to Potiphar's wife, says no to her, and then Judah instead goes in to a prostitute.
Right.
But here's the further thing that's of interest here. I'm sure you know this, but in Matthew 1, she's included in the genealogy of Jesus. And in Matthew, the first chapter, you have several women included there in the genealogy. And when you look at who's there, you've got people like Tamar,
right.
who were not women of honor. And it's telling us a few things. It's through these seeds, through these unions, through
right.
a foreigner like Ruth who comes in, that the line of David comes and the
right.
line of the Messiah comes. So it's not only including women in this, which is part of the message Matthew wants to communicate.
Right.
It's women who've been charged with immorality or have been immoral or as I said, charged with it, as Miriam. Mary was charged with it. And then
right.
it's that constant reminder of it's God's grace at work in the midst of human failing and the midst of human sin.
Right.
And it's not because of our righteousness that he chooses us or does what he does.
Right.
Beyond that, there's nothing of tremendous spiritual significance that I would find in the account there in Genesis 38. In terms of him consulting a prostitute, you know, some hidden meanings or
right.
things like that. But these themes are there. And I think it's important to remember on a larger level that as we see God working in the earth, that we don't want to bring dishonor to his name. We don't want to fail. But often human beings have failed. It doesn't mean his purposes aren't true.
Right.
It doesn't mean he's not going to carry out his promises. But it certainly strikes at pride. So the...
Right.
We're Jews,
right.
which ultimately descendants of Judah. There's something that strikes at that pride in
right.
our very history and the history of who Judah is.
Right.
And it's an interesting thing, Stephen. I was presenting a paper that a friend of mine, a rabbi, had written, showing it to some Old Testament scholars at an Isaiah 53 conference a few years ago.
Right.
And one of them was reading how this rabbi was explaining how Isaiah 53 really refers to the people of Israel and the righteous
yeah.
remnant. One of these scholars said, boy, he has a very high view of the Jewish people. In other words, it's a little bit over-exalted in terms
yeah.
of real history and what God says. And that's why John the Immerser, when he comes preaching, he says, don't say we're children of Abraham.
Right.
Because God could raise up from these stones children of Abraham. Yeah, you are children of Abraham, but don't think, hey, we're the chosen ones. We already have it. One rabbi that I went to grad school with, I don't know how old you are, Stephen, but if you're close to my age, you remember this. There was the I Found It campaign
right.
in the 80s, and it was they had it for a year. I found what?
You're
going to share what it was. And so this rabbi started a counter campaign. We were friends. We went to grad school together, started a counter campaign, which was we never lost it. We never lost it. And I remember he said, we Jews don't need to be saved. So in point of fact,
I love it.
This account really reminds us We cannot have Jewish pride. We
right.
cannot say we are Jews. No, we all sin. We all fall short. And Jewish yeah. history should make us as Jews realize we need a Savior. We need a Messiah, not right. in the future, but we need one to have already come. Hey, we got to break, got to run, but
okay.
thanks for
God
the question.
God bless you, Dr. Brown.
All right, God bless. Yeah, that little innocent question really got me thinking about some very profound issues. Are you sharing the gospel with a Jewish person? Can we sew a book into your hands to put in theirs? We'll be back. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, because he is the Jewish Messiah, he is the Savior of the world. He is the light of the nations. If he's not the Jewish Messiah, he's not the Savior of the world. He's not the light of the nations. That simple. That simple. He cannot be for the Gentiles if he is not for the Jews. No, Christians can have Jesus. That's okay. Christians can have the New Testament. That's okay. Christians can have church. That's okay. Christians have all. That's okay. We have Judaism. We don't need Jesus. That's such a mixed statement. And with all respect to my Jewish friends that would think this way, it's a false statement. Read the New Testament and see what it says about who Jesus is, who Yeshua is. Does it say that he came into the world to start a brand new religion for the Gentiles? No. Does it say that he came to revolutionize and change the whole Jewish system so it would no longer be recognizable to a Jew? No. Does it say that he came to abolish the Torah? No. Does it say that he came to establish a new and better covenant? Yes, the one that Jeremiah prophesied. And he came as the Messiah. You say, no, he's Christ. Christ is just the Greek way of saying the Messiah. Yeah. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You say, no, but Jews, we're waiting for the Messiah to come and rule and reign. Here's what the Messiah is going to do. He's going to regather the Jewish exiles from around the world. He's going to lead the Jewish people into Torah observance. He's going to rebuild the temple. He's going to destroy the enemies of Israel. That's what the Messiah is going to do. He's not going to suffer and die. That's the Christian view. Friend, again, it's a statement with some truth and with some error. Yes, at the end of the age when the Messiah comes, and it will be his second time, it will be his second coming, it will be his return. Yes, he will regather exiles. Yes, he will destroy the enemies of Israel. Yes, he will establish God's kingdom on the earth, peace on the earth. Yes, I believe he'll build a temple in Jerusalem as well. Some may dispute that, but what's clear is that he will rule and reign from Jerusalem, and that through him, the knowledge of God will go to the ends of the earth. And as the prophet Isaiah said, they'll no longer do harm, hurt on my holy mount, speaking of Jerusalem. The wolf will lay down with the lamb together. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. All nations will come streaming into Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel, according to Isaiah, the second chapter. Or another translation would say they'll gaze on him with joy. That's all going to happen because he did what had to be done first. Now, check this out. This is in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, the chapter called The Secret of the Suffering Messiah. So I didn't know the Jewish tradition taught about the suffering Messiah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. The Secret of the Suffering Messiah. Check this out. The great Jewish anthropologist, Raphael Patai, devoted an entire chapter to the subject of the suffering Messiah in his unparalleled collection entitled The Messiah Text. More than 50 years earlier, Gustav Dahlmann, a Christian scholar of Judaica, whose reference works are used by Jewish scholars to this day, he devoted an entire volume to the subject of the suffering Messiah in Jewish tradition. And the texts describing the Messiah's sufferings are not obscure, little-known texts representing the views and opinions of some peripheral Jewish groups. Rather, they're found in the most important branches of rabbinic literature, including the Talmud, the Midrashic writings, and the medieval and modern commentaries on the Bible. So listen to Raphael Patai. He was a highly respected Jewish anthropologist, Jewish scholar, brilliant in quite a number of different fields, and his compilation called The Messiah Text is used by Jew and Christian alike as a wonderfully important, usable compilation. And Patai, whatever language he's quoting from, he translated that directly from that language into English. Patai makes this startling statement regarding the Messiah's sufferings. The sufferings Israel must face in the days of the Messiah are temporary and transitory. They will last, according to the Talmudic view, 7 years. The later Agadah tradition reduces this period to a mere 45 days. The Messiah himself, on the other hand, must spend his entire life, from the moment of his creation until the time of his advent, many centuries or even millennia later, in a state of constant and acute suffering. Patai writes, summarizing the key rabbinic writings, and that you say, where can I find this? In my book, The Real Kosher Jesus. Despised and afflicted with unhealing wounds, he sits in the gates of Rome and winds and unwinds the bandages of his festering sores, as a midrash expresses it, pains have adopted him. According to one of the most moving and at the same time psychologically most meaningful of all Messiah legends, God, when he recreated the Messiah, gave him the choice of whether or not to accept the sufferings for the sins of Israel. And the Messiah answered, I accept it with joy so that not a single soul of Israel should perish. In the later Zoharic, that is, mystical formulation of this legend, the Messiah himself summons all the diseases, pains, and sufferings of Israel to come upon him in order thus to ease the anguish of Israel, which otherwise would be unbearable. The suffering Messiah taught in Jewish tradition. Friends, this is not some strange Christian notion. Christianity, to use that term, which, by the way, none of the apostles ever would have heard of the term, quote, Christianity. Christianity got the idea of a suffering Messiah from the Hebrew Bible, the Jewish scriptures. That's where they got it from. No. See, what happened was after Jesus died on the cross, they came up with this whole notion of a suffering Messiah. No, friends, it's laid out in the Hebrew scriptures. And even the idea of the people of Israel suffering and God saying in Isaiah 63, in all their affliction, he too is afflicted. The idea of God suffering along with his people should tell us that the Messiah is not one who's aloof from our sufferings. The Messiah is not one who just sits. He's going to come as a king in glory one day. No, the Messiah himself is a man of suffering. As it says in Isaiah 53, Ish machovot viduach holi, a man of pains and intimately acquainted with sickness. That's our Messiah. That's why in the New Testament, when Jesus healed the sick and drove out demons, it says, drove out the spirits with the word. It says in Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 17th verse, he did this to fulfill what was written in Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our pains, carried our diseases. Oh, when he hung on the cross, he wasn't suffering for his sins, but for ours. Where'd they get these ideas from? The Hebrew scriptures? And that's why also the rabbis talked much about the suffering Messiah. Friends, get a couple of copies of The Real Kosher Jesus for yourself. Get one for a Jewish friend, doesn't believe. Get another copy for a pastor. Get a whole bunch of copies. And we've got a special resource offer today where if you get the book, we're also including with it a DVD of my talk at Hebrew University. I was told I was the best known Messianic Jew to ever give a public lecture, an outreach lecture at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. We had to use the international building. That was the only caveat. We had a room that was packed, as you'll see as you watch, a live Q&A that followed, even a leading counter missionary there to challenge. We had great interaction, respectful interaction. The DVD and the book, just $20 postage paid for the paperback or the hardcover, $30 postage paid. So you're really getting the DVD for free when you do this. Call 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time to get the book and DVD, 1-800-278-9978. Hey, Tony, stay with us. I want to talk to you when we come back about sharing the good news with Jewish people. And then I'll tell you about a chief rabbi who came to faith in Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. It's not just Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. It's not just the Passover season. Yes, Chag Sameach, happy holiday, happy Passover. It's not just the Passover season. It's not just Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but every Thursday in April is a special day for Jewish outreach, in particular, sharing Jewish truths with our Jewish listeners about Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And I'm giving away a few more copies of my brand new hot off the press, eye-opening, life-changing book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. The day the Lord laid it on my heart to start writing that book, January 19th, the day the book arrived on my desk, April 2nd, finished, published beautifully. So can you believe that? Wild, isn't it? It's the hand of God, the grace of God, the preface to the book. You know, when you got everything done and all finished and so on. The preface to the book is dated February 22nd, 2012. The preface, I started, the idea to write the book came to me January 19th. The preface, with every summing everything up, February 22nd. That's the grace of God. And the publisher to get it out with such excellence so quickly. Amazing. So we're giving away some copies of the book. Everybody else, I encourage you to buy them in bulk. Get for yourself, get for your Jewish friends. If you are currently sharing the gospel with a Jewish person, you're engaged with a Jewish family member, friend, colleague, and you're talking to this person about Jesus, Yeshua, and there's openness, and you believe they would read this book if you gave it to them, I want to send you a free copy. If you genuinely believe they'll read this book, yeah, okay, I'll take this book and I'm going to read it. And I've got a way that to help get them to read it. If that's the case, I want you to give me a call, and we'll talk about it and strategize together to sow good seeds of truth. We want to present the truth to our Jewish people and let them decide for themselves and pray that their eyes will be open to the truth. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me go to the phones in Marietta, Georgia. Tony, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Shalom, Dr. Brown. Shalom.
Shalom, Tony.
Hey, my mission field is Jewish evangelism, and I just happened to catch your show and your name, and I was it must have meant be meant to be, because I was literally talking about the suffering Messiah, and you're riding the money. My only advice to any listener that has a Jewish friend is that sometimes how you proclaim Jesus will turn them off, I found out. If you say the word Christ or Jesus, sometimes they will shut you down. So I always prefer to use the term Messiah or Yeshua.
Of course, as we share with people and talk about Jesus being the Messiah, it's very important. What's interesting, though, is that most Jewish people, if you talk to them about Yeshua, they don't know who that is. So we have to explain that. So
exactly.
You may tell them, yeah, did you know that Jesus' real name was Yeshua and his mother's name was Miriam? And the reason he's called Christ is the Greek way of saying Messiah. And just very simple things like that, because as you know, Tony, most Jews think that Jesus is for the Gentile world and for the church.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not for them. He's fine for the church, fine for the Goyim. That's good. Fine for the Gentiles. He's not for us.
Yeah,
we have our own
religion.
Yeah.
So how long have you been?
Go ahead.
I've been doing this probably off and on my whole life. It started when I was in the service, and I pulled 3 tours in Israel back in the 80s. And that's where my real love for Israel and the Jewish people started. And I ran into a woman who's been doing it all her life. Matter of fact, you may know of them, Worldwide Jewish Missions. They've been doing it since the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And,
well, listen... Yeah, Tony, I just got to jump in because we've got a break here. I want to encourage you to visit my website if you've never been there. It's askdrbrown.org. I've written 5 volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. We have a whole website there, Real Messiah, where you can watch the video debates I've had with rabbis and Jewish testimonies. Send your Jewish friends there. So we got tons and tons of resources. Hopefully it can be a blessing to you. Ask Dr. Brown. Tony, keep sharing Yeshua the Messiah. May you bear much fruit. Thank you, man.
Fire we please, stand in the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Jesus is for Jews and Jews are for Jesus, a match made in heaven. The devil, Satan, the enemy of our souls, has done what he can to destroy that match, to destroy that bond, to make it seem like anything but Jews and Jesus, anything but. And much of church history has reinforced that division, that separation. Thankfully, truth is being restored. Thankfully, more and more people, rabbis, Jewish leaders included, are recognizing the Jewishness of Jesus, Yeshua. They're just saying, well, yeah, he's Jewish, but he wasn't the Messiah. Ah, a step at least in the right direction. The book that'll help them go the rest of the way, The Real Kosher Jesus, hot off the press. I'm so excited to announce. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, I want to tell you the story of Rabbi Daniel Tzion. He was the chief rabbi of Bulgaria. When? During the Holocaust. Never heard of him? Rabbi Daniel Tzion, chief rabbi of Bulgaria during the Holocaust. He was instrumental and helping to save hundreds of Jewish lives during that horrific time in history, settling in Israel after the war. Yet his name is unfamiliar to almost all Jews today. Why? He became a believer in Yeshua. He became a believer in Jesus. Oh, and because of that, you're not the famous chief rabbi anymore. You're kind of a disgraced figure. You just can't, well, he's heroic. You can't disgrace him. You just don't really talk about him much. He was so highly respected by the Orthodox leaders in Israel that in 1954, the newly appointed chief rabbi, Samuel Toldano, offered him the position of judge in Jerusalem's rabbinic court. The only obstacle was Tzion's faith in Yeshua, a problem that Toldano suggested could be overcome if Tzion kept his beliefs to himself. To this, Tzion could not agree, and he presented the evidence for his faith in a meeting with the leading rabbis, concluding with these words, "I give up all earthly honor for the sake of the Messiah, my mate." So he was stripped of the title of rabbi by the rabbinic court. He was still looked to as a rabbi by the Bulgarian Jews, and he officiated in the Yefet Street Synagogue in Jaffa until October 6, 1973. In addition, every Sabbath afternoon, he would teach about Yeshua in the New Testament to a group he would bring home with him in between the morning and evening synagogue services. He died in 1979 at the age of 96, firm in his commitment to the Messiah. And to break another stereotype you might have, he never considered himself a Christian, living a traditional Jewish life until his dying day. During the days of Nazi occupation, he was publicly flogged and humiliated, and all this time he was a believer in Jesus. On one occasion, he received a vision from Yeshua in which the Lord told him to warn Boris, the Bulgarian king, not to submit to Nazi pressure to deliver the Bulgarian Jews over to the Polish and German death camps. This warning was delivered to the king in writing just one day before Boris left for Germany to meet with Hitler. The king refused to comply with the Führer's demands. A beloved chief rabbi, through his close relationship with Jesus the Messiah, was used by God to save Jewish lives in the Holocaust. Did you know that, friend? Oh, Jesus for Jews, Jews for Jesus, chief rabbi, follower of Jesus, Yeshua at one and the same time. And a traditional Jew to his dying day, devoted to Jesus, Yeshua, his Messiah, and friend, and Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Barb in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm blessed, thank you.
Well, so am I. I really look forward to listening to you every Thursday. I just can't wait to hear you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm always interested in witnessing to Jewish people, and I have a great story. I have been praying for my girlfriend, who is Jewish, and her husband, and I try to get involved in their life, and I do things for her and with her for her synagogue, and I've been praying really hard, and I asked her, would you like to come to our church one time and see what it's all about? She said yes, and she's coming on Easter.
Wow. Well, now what you need to tell her is that it's called Easter, but it's Resurrection Sunday, and it's even part of the whole Passover season. In the Passover season, that the first day after the Sabbath in the past, or was called first fruits, and that's the beginning, the new life. So Yeshua rises at first fruit. You got to say, we got a couple like trappings here that are just what the church does, but this really goes back to the Jewish people, to the Torah, and to Jesus himself. Well, hey, listen, Barb, how about if we give you a copy of The Real Kosher Jesus to give to her, and the way to do it is to say, the author of this book is Jewish, and he gave me this book to give to you as a gift, and he'd love to get your feedback. So it's totally true, 100% true, and it's a great way to get her to read it and to value it and then to talk to you about it, all right? So stay on the line, Barb, and thanks for your enthusiasm. By the way, I'm glad you can't wait to listen every Thursday. Remember, I'm on 5 days a week. You can hear me there in Philly 5 days a week. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Nice talking with you again, Mr. Michael Brown.
Hey, what's up?
I just got a question about the Passover things, about that, the preparation and things that Jewish people do, because I know Shabbat is starting, and they usually get the preparation started now. So I just wanted to know what will be some of the material and things like that.
Well,
or if you got a site that I could go to.
Probably if you just get online and search, you know, preparation for Passover, you'll find information. And there's an Orthodox Jewish site called Chabad, Chabad.org. These are not believers in Jesus. These are Orthodox Jews. I have some friends who are part of their organization, their movement. And just type in that and then look for preparation for Passover. But there's some very interesting things that are done, Stephen. The first thing is, because God says to get rid of any leaven, and then Paul puts a spiritual interpretation on that in 1 Corinthians 5, what Jews do is they've got to get rid of all leaven. So you say, okay, well, you got a few loaves of bread, throw them out, whatever else has leaven. Oh, but it's a family custom. You search the house. So you're actually going to search the house for leaven, and the whole family gets involved with that to make sure there's not a piece, there's not a crumb anywhere, and any products that could potentially have leaven, got to get rid of all of that. So that's one thing that's done. And then there are the different elements of the Passover meal, the Passover Seder. And this is normally celebrated communally, so it's not just with one family. You can have extended families come together to celebrate this. This more than any other Jewish holiday is celebrated in an extended way with people gathering in public places to have a Seder. That's the Passover meal, or to have large extended family gatherings where people can come together. So you have the various elements of the Seder plate that have to be purchased. But the biggest part of the preparation is getting rid of the leaven and preparing the house. And there's even rabbinic discussion about, you know, exactly what constitutes getting rid of the leaven. Now, here's something interesting. Judaism sometimes, to keep the law, will kind of find a loophole to get around something difficult. So what if you happen to have a business, and your business, it has leaven for fermentation or other purposes like that, you have large amounts of it. If you get rid of all of it, it's going to hurt your business. So what Jews have done through the centuries is they'll make a contract with a Gentile neighbor, and they will sell them all of their stuff that has leaven. We're not talking about in the house, but say like in their business, they'll sell that to the Gentile for a dollar. And then when Passover is over, they'll buy it back for a dollar. So it's a loophole to keep the law, but get around the law at the same time, because it's too difficult to do otherwise. But within the house, you know, they don't have to do that. But in places of business, it's kind of the Jewish approach to things. So anyway, it's a good question you asked, and there's a kind of an anticipation that builds up to it in the Jewish community, especially for the Passover season. And it's a great time for us to say, Lamb of God, Messiah, Lamb of God comes into the world to suffer and die. And then his death, his resurrection, sending of the Spirit, all corresponds to the Torah calendar, the biblical calendar. Hey, Stephen, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I don't have time to get you another call, but Bert in Denver, you will be next. Let me encourage all of you, jot this number down, 1-800-278-9978. Jot that number down, 1-800-278-9978. That's the number to call to get your copy of Real Kosher Jesus. I'm so excited going through the book because it was written in such intensity and grace and then published so quickly with such excellence that I'm super excited to have it in my hands, knowing how the Lord birthed it, helped me to write it, helped get it out that quickly. Again, the day the Lord laid it on my heart to start writing the book, the day I got the idea was January 19th. The preface, as we're finishing everything up and getting the last things into the publisher, is February 22nd. That's a month and 3 days. And then another 5 weeks after that, the book's published. Come on. This is the grace of God. Get hold of the book. We'll tell you about a special resource offer in a few minutes. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Every Thursday in the month of April, we're doing a special Jewish outreach-related broadcast. Today laid out some general things about Jesus and the Jews and countered some objections, misunderstandings, shared a little bit of my own story, talked about rabbis who have come to faith and the Jewishness of Jesus. We'll be getting other Jewish believers on, sharing some testimony. So encourage your Jewish friends who don't believe in Jesus, or if you're listening as a Jewish person, Thursdays in particular, be a great day to listen all through the month of April. 866-34-TRUTH. Bert in Denver, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Bert. Yes,
hi,
Bert, you're on the air.
Dr. Brown, nice talking to you.
Thank you.
God had the grace to give you Jesus so that you would put this book together and so that we can help other people that are Jewish. I am one of the Gentiles that was not, but I had many friends growing up in my hometown that were Jewish. My father had friends, so I've always respected people who were the Jewish religion because they are God's chosen people originally, but then God extended his grace to all that would accept him as Jesus as our Savior.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So congratulations
true.
To you. Congratulations for you to have the Spirit to put that book together, because what I wanted to do, I'm asking for a book to give to my close Jewish friend and a prominent attorney here in Denver, so...
Well, you bet. So again, Bert, here's the way to do it. We're going to send you a copy of the book, and you tell them the author of the book gave you the book as a gift for him.
For him. Yeah,
all right. And I would love to get his feedback. So once he reads it, gets back to you, especially an attorney, he will enjoy it. He'll enjoy the critical thinking. He'll enjoy the journey of it, and he'll enjoy the careful documentation. So once he talks to you about it and gets some feedback, shoot us a note. So stay right there, Bert, and thank you. Thank you for the congratulations and the kind words. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to the back of my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah, Appendix A is called The New Testament, an Unreliable Anti-Semitic Book. And I condense some of the material that I have in Volume 1 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. Right? I take 31 pages to tackle this, to say the origins of anti-Semitism can be traced, this is the objection, can be traced to the pages of the New Testament, from the negative depiction of the Pharisees to the charge of deicide, killing God. Anti-Semitism is a Christian plague. I respond to that and show, number one, anti-Semitism existed before a single page of the New Testament was ever written, so you cannot say that anti-Semitism was caused by the New Testament. Secondly, the religious conflicts in the Gospels. You say, see, somebody rewrote those to make the Jews look bad and Jesus having a problem with Jews. No, not at all. It's not someone later coming along and rewriting them. Jesus, as a Jew, had conflict with his fellow Jews, and Jesus as a prophet, as I lay out in a chapter called The Threat to the Establishment, which will really open your eyes in terms of what it means to be a prophet and why the prophets had conflict with their people, with their generation, and how Jesus spoke as a prophet, but as the greatest prophet who ever lived. the conflicts that Jesus Yeshua had with his fellow Jewish leaders were just that, in-house conflicts, and the conflicts of a prophet of God confronting a corrupt religious establishment. And there's been a corrupt religious establishment in generation after generation of synagogue and church as well. There's often corrupt religious establishment that has to be overthrown. I'm sure if Jesus came into America today speaking as a prophet, he'd have a lot to say to the corrupt religious church establishment. Follow? So these are not anti-Semitic pages. Rather, this is something thoroughly Jewish. And then the passages in the New Testament that have helped fuel anti-Semitism in the church, when properly translated and understood, they're not anti-Semitic at all. What about the charge that the New Testament says the Jews killed Christ? You know how much Jewish blood has been shed over that? You know how much Jewish suffering has taken place through the centuries? Because the Jews are Christ killers, and they deserve to die, and they deserve to suffer. The fact is, the primary emphasis in the New Testament, and this is laid out in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, is that God sent his son to die for our sins as an act of love. And in keeping with this, the New Testament emphasizes that no one took Jesus' life from him. He laid it down volitionally. And the central message of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, meaning on a certain level, we're all responsible for his death. And then when Jesus is nailed to the cross, what's the attitude he has towards the Roman soldiers who crucified him? Forgiveness. And then after Jesus rises from the dead, Peter preaches, Shimon Kepha, Jewish leader, preaches to his fellow Jews and says, we acted in ignorance. You acted in ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing. To the Jewish leaders, he says, repent, because God wants to bless you. So even to the degree that there was Jewish complicity, that some of the Jewish leaders turned Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified, the New Testament says that plainly. And in point of fact, Jewish people crucified or killed, I should say, prophets in the past, put them to death in the past. This is recorded within our Hebrew Bible and in Jewish tradition. But what's the New Testament say? To hell with all of you? No. Repent, because God wants to bless you first. That's the attitude. The idea that the New Testament teaching is the cause of anti-Semitism and Jewish suffering. No, it's only when that teaching is perverted and twisted. Read the New Testament for yourself. See what's there. And get at least two copies of The Real Kosher Jesus. Get one for yourself and then one for a Jewish friend that doesn't know the Lord. It'll be a great gift, eye-opening gift for them. Get one for your pastor, congregational leader. Get a few of them. And we've put it together where you basically, when you order the book, you also get a DVD of my talk at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. There's a chapter in my book on the atoning power of the death of the righteous. That's what I talked about there at Hebrew University. Then we did live Q&A. We even had a counter-missionary there interacting with. You'll find it super enlightening, a great supplement to the book, both edifying, eye-opening for you as a believer, and great outreach tools. So the paperback book plus the DVD, just $20 postage paid, or get the hardcover. And again, we have the exclusive hardcover. Paperback you can get anywhere else, but we alone have the hardcover and the DVD, the hardcover edition of the book, and then the DVD with that for free. That's postage paid, $30. So you'll be blessed. You'll be enriched. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. You'll understand why we've subtitled The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. And anyone who read Rabbi Shmuley's book, Kosher Jesus, this is the book. This is the book to give them that I wrote in response to and beyond my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. One more time, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. And if you believe in what we're doing, can sow in an additional gift to help us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We'd be indebted to you. Thank you so much for standing with us. You can go online and do the same thing at askdrbrown.org. Just click on our online bookstore. My bottom line today, the harvest is ripe, and I mean the Jewish harvest. Now is the time for Jewish people to recognize their Messiah in Israel and around the world. Pray that God would use you to share the good news of Jesus with a Jewish person this week. Change the world.